chapter, and it's going to give a little info about the resurrection body, and then we're going to go into that. So 1 Corinthians 15, pick it up verse 36, and we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea and help us recognize the perks that come along with salvation. And appreciate them, and that this hopefully would drive us to purify ourselves here in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. Okay, remember Jesus warned somebody. He warned somebody. You're not supposed to say, thou fool, to thy somebody. But look what Paul does. Thou fool. Jesus said, if you did that, you're in danger of the judgment. Do you think Paul's in trouble? Or do we have to figure out who Jesus was talking to compared to who Paul was talking to? And that would definitely help that situation. So, verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. So, have you ever put a seed in the ground, planted a garden? Okay, you put the seed in the ground, the seed dies to itself, and then it is made alive. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every one, every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So the Bible is taking something in this world to explain something about the next. So, it's an analogy. Now, if you've ever planted a seed, hopefully you have sometime in your life planted a seed. I think we've done a few. And that should help you recognize the natural law that God has made after his kind. You know, we have yet to put corn in a planter and soybeans in a planter, and the soybeans where corn came up and corn and the soybeans came up. Now, we did get volunteer corn, but that's from the previous year. And that's after his kind. It's amazing how that accidentally happened through an explosion of nothing that became something. Or God established the rule. So he says, verse 40, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Okay, so right now, there is a natural body that we see, and I'm looking at it, and you're looking at it. Okay, and there's a spiritual body that I can't see. That's the invisible body. That's the real you. And then we're going to head into the future and look at the resurrected body. What God's got planned for saved people in the future. Okay, and so there's not a great deal of information in the Bible about heaven. Really, there's not. Not a great deal of information about the resurrected body. A little bit. And I dare say the Lord did that for a reason. As one is, I don't think we could handle how amazing it's going to be. But the other reason is, I believe God did that because he don't want you and I to want him for what we get out of it. I think that's why the Lord did that. Okay, because a lot of people use other people to get something out of them. They get what they want, they dump them, don't they? It's like Samson used his companion as a friend. His friend wasn't a companion, he used him. That's what Samson did. And so, have you ever bought something that a benefit came along that you wasn't expecting? And man, that was a surprise and a blessing, was it not? Okay, where in Psalms he mentions that we need to not forget the daily benefits. Okay, that term is brought into our culture where you have job benefits. That's perks that come with a job. You find that in the Bible in 1 Timothy 6. Okay, but when it's a surprise, okay, you ever buy an appliance, maybe a car, or you took a trip, okay, and some things came with it that you didn't know about, and you got surprised. I didn't know that was part of this trip. Man, that makes the trip more exciting. Back in the day, in the 5 and 10 stores, the 5 and dime stores, where they'd put candy, you go in and you'd ask, "I would like a pound of this candy." There's a very wise lady that recognized that, okay, if they asked for a pound of this candy, she would put less than a pound on the scale and then add to the scale up to the pound. She would never go over the pound and take away, because the customer's watching and say, "Look how much more I got." Even though it's just the same, instead of, "Oh, they're taking it away from me." Okay, and these are the benefits that God adds to salvation. Years ago, I flew out to Seattle to take a log home building class. It was a 2-day class. It was going to teach you how to build a log home in 2 days, not the home in 2 days. The class was 2 days. And when I first took the class, I thought, I don't know. I can't see how the guy's going to do it. But he did it, and I learned it, and built a garage house and a cabin from that 2-day class. But when I went out to the class one time on that, I went to the class twice, but the second time I went, you know how you go to the airport and you're waiting for the flight to take off, and well, they called off David Hoffman, party of two, so I go up there, and they said, "Well, we had to use your seats. We think you'll like your seats better." And so I said, "Okay, thank you, fine, just as long as I'm on the plane." I go back and sit down, three? A and B? No, can't be. We got to ride first class for the price of coach. Well, that was a fun flight. I mean, you get all this extra stuff and say, "Oh, yeah, keep it coming," you know? I mean, that was fun. Do you know that salvation's like that? You just got to go back and study all the benefits as far as salvation goes. It's an amazing thing. In the Bible, in Romans 6, 7, and 8, and then 12 to 15, Paul gives information about how to live the resurrected life, but there's not a whole lot of information about the resurrected body. I would dare say, usually the first noticeable thought that a person has regarding salvation is, "I get a reservation in heaven." Okay, that's what we're just saying about, you know, home beyond the river. That river is in Revelation 20. Okay, that's probably the first thought. Some people, and you have to kind of go back to your salvation experience where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, please do that. But maybe your thought was, "I'm rescued from hell. I don't have to go to hell." Now, me personally, that wasn't even mentioned to me. So that was really a non-thought for me. But maybe, and this is often an experience of someone who gets saved after 20, maybe 25, a little more, is they recognize a heavy weight of sin has been removed and they have a peace in their heart. They recognize that. Some recognize, "Man, my conscience just kind of seems to be more alert than it was in the past. It seems like I'm liking some things that I used to not like, and I'm not liking some things I used to like." You kind of notice that. Okay, and a further study of going back to the Bible and discovering what God did is a fascinating thing. And a person might get to the point where Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Wow, what an unspeakable gift. What an unspeakable gift that's been given." And I just want to look at one thing, is the resurrected body of the believer. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul likens the resurrected body to planting a seed in the ground. Now, when we put a kernel of corn in the ground, a stalk will come up, okay? And then the tassel is the male portion, and the silk on the ear is the female portion. Okay, and then there's an ear, but one seed produced how many seeds in corn? It's different in soybeans. And when you strip off the husk, you'll see the rows of corn, and it'll be an even number, 14, 16, 18. I've never seen an odd number. Okay, and amazing how that just mysteriously, accidentally happened through eons of billions of years, unless the Lord did that. So the physical body is the one that's put in the ground, and the glorified body is 100 times better. Can we even imagine 100 times better? I don't think we can. 100 times better than the body we got today? Whoa, that's a good deal. And so what we do, what we can do is in Philippians, which we'll get to it, where he said he's going to change our body like and unto his glorious body. So let's look at his in Luke 24, verse 36. The glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord came as the Savior, the suffering Savior, he was the flesh and blood, uppercase word of God. At that time, he was a flesh and blood because the bloodline comes through the Father. Anybody that raises chickens, on occasion you might notice blood in the yolk, and that means the rooster got involved. Okay, and Acts 20, verse 28 says the blood that was in Jesus Christ was the blood of God, and he shed that on Calvary. But then that blood, because it's God's blood, is eternal blood. And so that eternal blood, according to Hebrews 9, is able to cleanse us from dead works to serve the living God. So that's available. But the resurrected body, if we look at it closely, Jesus says his resurrected body will be the flesh and bones word of God. I'm reading this from the pen and ink word of God. So the flesh and bones word of God is different than the flesh and blood word of God, where the blood sort of limits us in the natural world. Where the flesh and bones word of God, where they can be in the invisible world and step through this veil into the visible world. Now that's right beside us. Okay, where if the Lord would open up all our eyes, we might see Clarence sitting over here, if he got his wings or not, I'm not sure. Okay, I doubt it, you know, the wings is not a good sign. Okay, and so we might see maybe a guardian angel here, even though they go back and forth. We might see maybe a little devil that was kind of sitting on your shoulder. If we could see that, some folks in the nut houses are actually seeing these things where they're afraid of it. Okay, now remember in the Old Testament, one time Elisha had brought the king of Israel, the army of Israel, into a place, and then the bad guys were surrounding them, and his servant was scared to death, and Elisha said, "What's a problem?" Well, he could see the spiritual world. He said, "Lord, would you please open his eyes?" And then he saw the army behind. Whoa, man, I got a little more confidence. Okay, so Colossians 1:16 says that God has created, Jesus has created the visible and the invisible. Now, we're in there in the invisible world. They've got a joke that as soon as they appear, they say, "Peace be unto you." I mean, they materialize out of nothing, and you're scared to death. And in Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they spake that they would be the apostles, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." What's the natural reaction? But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. That's easy for you to say. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Now, the poor J-dubs who think that Jesus only was wrecked spiritually, they forgot to change that verse in the New World Translation. And they messed up on that one. They need to go back and, you know, change that. Okay, but notice flesh and bones. Now, if you go back to the creation of Adam and then Eve, or Ev. So Adam was created about 5 o'clock. 5:30 in the afternoon, because it's right before Eve, which is 6 o'clock. And so, okay. And so then he says, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So Adam, where did he get blood? Could have been from that tree, that grape tree where he turned his water to blood. That would be logical, you know, and this is maybe the infatuation with the dark side are infatuated with blood. Isn't that something? Why? Because they know in their heart there's a resurrection. But they don't want to come through the right way. And so the flesh and bones word of God is the Lord Jesus after the resurrection. If you would try Hebrews 2, and here it's, right here it's kind of placed in both. Hebrews 2 verse 7. The flesh and bones word of God is the glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. The flesh and blood word of God is the suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2 verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Originally that was Adam. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, and he left nothing that was not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's the flesh and blood word of God, that he might, by the grace of God, should take, well, I'm sorry, and then it says, comma, crowned with glory and honor, flesh and bones, word of God, resurrected body, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So that's amazing what the Lord Jesus did. Now, let's go back in John chapter 20. And see if we can find a time, okay, after the Lord Jesus died, what happened to him? His body went to the sepulcher. His soul went down. So his soul went down into Abraham's bosom, and he deposited sins in hell. His soul will not be left in hell. He that ascended first descended, okay, in the lower parts of the earth, that he might ascend. So now in John 20, we have Jesus coming out, and then he makes a pit stop on earth before he goes all the way up. And he meets Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, you'll pick up that in verse 11. Okay, there it's going on. She thinks he's the gardener. Okay, and then in verse 17, he says unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, and go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And then Mary Magdalene went and told them. And verse 19, he's back here on earth. Whoa, is that moving? Now, I don't think heaven is as far away as some folks think. But that's quicker than Mach 5. Travel at the speed of thought. Wouldn't that be fun? Hey, let's go see so-and-so over there, you know? No peanuts involved. You missed the peanuts, I guess. In the Old Testament, they'd pick them up by the hair. That's what he did to Ezekiel. Picked him up by the hair and then transported him. Couldn't do that to Elisha because they said he was a bald head. Be like Mo getting curly. You know, couldn't get that one. Okay, so there's a resurrected body of Jesus, and the Bible says we're going to be likened unto him. Won't that be fun? Now, if you would, let's try Romans 8. The glorified body of the believer. Okay, so an individual wants to go fly and see somebody and take a flight instead of drive a car. So of your free will, you buy a ticket. Now, your ticket has a destination on it. Who's responsible for the destination? Well, obviously, you got to get on a plane. But once you get on a plane, who's responsible? It's the pilot. I mean, if you walk past the, you know, the cabin crew and you hear a guy in there screaming, you know, his hair's all knotted, I'd get off the plane. And if you ask him, hey, where are we going? I don't know. We're going to make good time. That's like going to a church where you ask the pilot, where are you going when you die? Well, I don't know. I'm getting off the plane. Well, it's up to the pilot. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 shows that same concept. Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. See the word predestinate, destination, destination, beforehand. So you buy the ticket, you go to the airport, the destination is wherever you buy, but your predestination. Now this says predestinate to be saved. No, that's a choice. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm sorry, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, there he also glorified. He goes from justified to glorified. Sanctified's our responsibility. So, that's how the ticket works. But yet, when you get on the plane, and if they move you to first class, wow, what a fun flight. Didn't expect that. Okay, unless you want to fly Spirit, where you got to put your hands out the windows and go like this to go from one place to the next. Okay, but here's the glorified body. Here's what the Lord's going to do for the saint. Philippians 3. When I got born again, I had not a clue this was going to be part of the plan. What a perk. Man, oh man. And I even skipped in the Luke 24, I skipped the idea that Jesus ate broiled fish in a honeycomb. I skipped that part. You get to eat and don't have to worry about growing this way. Broiled fish, not fried. Broiled fish, honeycomb, the comb of the honey melt on top of the broiled fish. Ooh, that's better than Sketties. Sketties will work for today. But, whoa, I don't know, that sounded good to me. Man, I love honeycomb on toast. Man, that's the best. When I collect my honey, I keep the comb in the honey. Man, that's the best. And so we'll have that in the future in Philippians chapter 3, 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Now, a person might say, my body's not vile. Then why are you wearing deodorant? Why you got mouthwash? You know, all that stuff. Man, it don't take 12 hours for your body to start stinking. Sometimes it's about 3, and maybe even 1. Man, our body's vile. And the older we get, then we discover, man, it's more vile than I thought. You know, around 35, instead of going this way, it starts going this way. It's that our body's vile, man. It stinks. You know, that's why you got to put all this, you know, raid all over us to keep the flies off. He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Is not that a good deal? Travel at the speed of thought, eat what you want. Obviously, it's got to be something more natural. You know, but I mean, that's good. What a thing. What the Lord's going to, and we didn't even know, did you know that when you got saved? No, we didn't know that. That's the perk that comes along with it. Let's try 1 John chapter 3. John is one of them tough writers where he'll throw in stuff for the Jews and something for the Christians same in the same chapter. And you got to kind of follow him real close. 1 John, did I say John? 1 John. 1 John 3. Page 1842 in a good reference Bible. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Notice, should be. So, before salvation, we could be. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If you're born again, you're a son of God today. Probably didn't act like it yesterday. But you got the title. It's on your account in heaven. If this book is true. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Boy, ain't that the fact. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. When will he appear? Well, it depends if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or a pre-wrath. And if people fight about these things, and I just kind of laugh about it. It's about like saying, hey, we're going to drive to Colorado Springs. I'm going to go Kansas route. You go North Nebraska route. And then they argue about the route. You get to the flight. You get to the destination. What's the problem? But even at that, it's obviously when he appears. So pre-tribulation rapture, because he's got to get the church out of here to go back to Israel, to Hebrew. So, but the funny thing is that people who are dead in the past come this direction. We which are alive come of this direction. And then they make a U-turn. Why would they make a U-turn? Well, if you haven't seen a loved one for a long time and you can schedule a date that they're coming home, are you going to stay in the house and wait for them to come? Are you going to go out and meet them and hug them? And then turn around and go back in the house. That's what them saints in the past are doing. They're going to come with the Lord Jesus. Meet us in the air. We get a transformation, become like Jesus Christ, and turn around and go right on back. We continue to flight up. They turn around and come back. And man, have a great time. Now, you got that hope in you, verse 3. If every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Shouldn't that motivate us? Man, should that not motivate us to live a more holy life? Where it's not such a transition? It's going to be a tough one anyway. Can you imagine a sinless, moral body that everything you do is right? Everything you say is right? Every thought that you have is holy? It's so frustrating down here where you get all this X-rated stuff coming through your head and all these other things. You know, last night I was dreaming that I was dreaming that I had all these plumbing problems in my house. And I was trying to fix all these plumbing problems. You know, fortunately, the bed wasn't wet when I woke up. But like the guy who was dreaming of eating cotton candy, and he woke up and his pillow was missing. I mean, that'd be pretty rough. But everything you think is right. Everything you do is right. You don't have to apologize to anybody because everything you do is right. Ain't that going to be, that alone in itself is going to be great. The moral body of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing about this that I find interesting is the world knows this. They know it in their gut. Atheists in Russia, when they put a casket down, they'll throw like a branch of a tree on top. Why? Because in their heart, they know there's a resurrection. They know it. And what do you think the cartoons are teaching kids? Those super duper heroes? Go-Go Gadget Arm? That is the world trying to figure out the resurrected body. Superman, Iron Man, Batman. It's the world trying to figure out that resurrected body. It's got to come through Jesus Christ to get that. You see, there's a dark side where they can torture a soldier in the MK Ultra and he can be split his personality and he can be a super duper soldier without emotion, without regret. On one side is split, but they can't get rid of both sides because they'll intermingle back and forth. And that's man's way, a wicked way, of the resurrected body. When the Lord Jesus Christ got it all set up. Man, what a day that will be. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, boom, like that. Resurrected body. Don't have to go through all the hassles of this world. That's what they're teaching the kids with the cartoons. They're teaching them without Christ. That's a sad thing. So the resurrected body, what a perk. Is that not a perk you may not have known about? Now you do. And you can spend some time studying. And look at Jesus Christ, his resurrected body. Look at some of the things the angels are capable of doing. And guess what? That's the future for the believer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to rejoice in that fact. And man, the older this body gets, the more aches and pains we have. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to purify ourselves because as a result of the new birth, we've been promised and predestinated to be conformed to his image. We should be doing that here, seeking the best ability to do that. We're never going to attain. We know that. Until we see the Lord face to face. And what a day that will be. And by chance, if someone is not born again, help them to see the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they might have that great hope that we're looking for, the blessed hope. We thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're just...